Well, good morning, everybody, and happy and holy Christmas to each of you. I'm Gordon Cheng, one of the ministers here, and here we are at Christmas time. Sometimes I feel like we slip into Christmas. This year, personally, I feel like I've sort of crashed into it. We had a great carols fest last week, bouncy castle, face painting, carols. Albie was going to give a talk, but God and the rain had other ideas. I think he was going to be speaking from inside the bouncy castle. Anyway, because Albie was going to be giving a talk, he told a story, which I'm now going to steal. I heard it from him last Sunday, and it may be true. It's the 23rd of December, you've got to imagine, and not this year, maybe last year. Christmas is just around the corner. The BBC reporter is on location in Brussels, the diplomatic centre of the European Union. She is looking for up-to-the-minute stories that give some sense of peace and joy. She tracks the UK ambassador down at a Christmas function and says, "Sir, what are you hoping for this Christmas?" The ambassador, he's not wanting to look extravagant or greedy, says, "Well, I wouldn't mind some aftershave and a nice pair of soft slippers." The BBC reporter thanks him, moves on. That evening on the BBC News, the report comes through, special Christmas report from Brussels, diplomatic centre of the European Union. The reporter says, "Here is a report on Christmas wishes. The French ambassador to the EU is praying for peace in the Ukraine. The Chinese ambassador is looking for a new era of respect in world diplomacy. And the UK ambassador would like some aftershave and..." Now look, you won't believe how long I spent workshopping that joke with friends in the last few days. If you like it, I put a great deal of effort in. If you didn't like it, our senior minister, Albie Lamb, will answer all questions about his significant input. But there we go. All right, let's move on to what the Bible actually says to us. The Bible is funny in parts, but it is not written for our entertainment. At its heart is news, full of joy and full of gravity. It asks this significant question: who is your king? And that passage that we've read just now, that brings us into focus with that question. The story here comes right after Matthew has told us that Jesus is Messiah, which is King, and that he is going to be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. Now, there's a bit of mythology around this particular passage, and it's on a lot of Christmas cards. There on the Christmas card is a manger, a stable, Mary, Joseph, a star in the sky, angels, glory, cows, sheep, and kings with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So I need you to know, and you need to check this for yourselves, of course, by going home, read the Bible for yourself, that there were no kings at Jesus' birth. Unless you count Jesus himself, who is, of course, the king of all creation. There just weren't. I can't prove that to you. All I can ask, as I said, is for you to go home and check it for yourself from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. As the cricket unfolds on TV tomorrow, check it for yourself. Watch the cricket, read the Bible. What a great way to spend Boxing Day. Cricket is probably optimal. Optional. Get it right. When you read the 18 verses, the 18 sentences or so, it is not hard to see the kings arrived later on. They weren't there at the stable. Yes to all the rest. Yes to Mary. Yes to Joseph. Yes to the manger, the stable, the star in the sky, Bethlehem. Hosts of angels singing glory to God. That is actually true, and it did happen. The kings came later. They were most likely not kings. The tradition has developed centuries later that they were kings. Well after the Bible was written, they were actually wise men, magicians or astrologers, hence the name Magi, similar to magicians. They came because of the star in the sky over Bethlehem, and they visited King Herod, the local ruler, and here's what they said. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. What a question. You front up to the king, Herod, local ruler, and you say to him, we're looking for a king. Oh, sorry, not you. It's the one whose star that we saw in the east. We understand he is close by. Can you help us find him so that we can worship him? What happens next? Well, reading on in Matthew 2, when King Herod heard, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, the chief priests and teachers of the law, he said to them, ask them, where is the Messiah going to be born? In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied. For that's what the prophet has written. You, Bethlehem, quoting from the book of Micah, in the land of Judah, by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So we have a promise, a prophecy. Micah promised this hundreds of years earlier. There will be a king. He will be born in Bethlehem. And reading on, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time where the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. And if you were King Herod, I wonder what you would do next. What if you actually were a king, let's say the King of Sydney, and you heard that according to ancient predictions and according to the people in front of you, the true actual future King of Sydney had just been born in Tamworth, or actually Tinga, which is smaller than Tamworth. Just to be accurate, Bethlehem was about 9 kilometres south of Jerusalem, so not as far as Tinga, but just a small place. Well, you can answer the question for yourselves of what you'd think you'd do if someone turns up saying, where's the actual king, when you think of yourself as a king? What we do know of Herod is that he was a very talented ruler and actually a master builder, because he helped rebuild and restore the temple and lots of other great building works that he did. But he was also a thoroughly nasty piece of work. We know of him not only from the Bible, but from other historians who were working at the time. And he died, as far as we can work out, in about 4 BC, which means that Jesus can't have been born later than then. He died, as I say, in 4 BC, but towards the end of his life, like so many other rulers who are trying to hold on to power, Herod became completely paranoid and killed his wife and at least 2 of his sons, just attempting to hold on to power and the kingship. That's not actually in the Bible. That's from historical documents of the time. But let's at least notice what happened next, because you can sort of sense what's going to come now. After they heard the king, they went on their way. The star they'd seen when it rose ahead of them stopped over the place where the child was. Theories are it could have been a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, which Kepler, the astronomer, worked out was happening at about that time. It could have been a supernova. That was the astronomer Kepler's favourite theory. There was a supernova going. It could have been a comet. Unlikely, but possible that it was Halley's comet. Anyway, various theories as to what this star was. But on coming to the house, as the passage says, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him, and opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. You can read further. I hope you do. There were 3 gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which is why we tend to think there were 3 kings, though actually there could have been 53. Passage doesn't say. You don't know. I don't know. What is clear is this. They show us that Jesus is born to be the true king, not only of the Jewish people, but also of people from other nations and other countries, including these representatives from the east. So people from far away, people like you and me, who come from distant lands to worship Jesus, who is the true King. So, who is the true King? Was it the three Magi who visited? Or the 53? Of course, we don't know. Well, no, as mentioned, we're not even sure they were kings. They could have been a group of just wealthy private individuals who happened to have a lot of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were, in any case, they had come to worship the true king. That was the point of their journey. Was Herod a true king? Well, he was powerful. And he was mean, just like you might expect of many kings. In fact, according to verse 16, when Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. So Jesus could have been 2 years old at the time of the visit of the Magi. So as much as we might enjoy the whole Christmas card scene, the angels, the stable, the glory, the singing, the visiting kings, the very next thing that happens is a massacre of boys in Bethlehem under the age of two. Not something we usually put on the cards. Was Herod the true king? Well, no. He was a king, but he's dead, like so many other monarchs. And his character and his actions reveal that though he had power, he was not a true king. And he would do his best to take down anyone who was. Meanwhile, Joseph and Mary escaped to Egypt. The true and eternal king of all creation was saved from the massacre. And he grew to live and teach of the glory of God and the forgiveness of sins. So, we're not Jesus, that much is clear. We are not kings of all creation. But what sort of kings are we? It seems to me that we have a choice about how we exercise the power, great or small, that God may have given us. We can be kings like Herod, really like Vladimir Putin, seeking to smash down whatever seems to be a threat to ourselves and promoting only things or people that might hold us up and build us up. Or we can be true kings like the Magi, the wise men who followed a star, came to the Lord Jesus and worshipped and bowed down before him. Look, I hope you get lots of nice Christmas presents. If you haven't already, open them up. But when you do look at those presents, be reminded of the wise men who came from distant lands bearing gifts for the Lord Jesus, who is the true King of all creation. And then let's be like them in being wise and worshipping Jesus, the King who came to serve and to save us. Amen.